The anger over the Khashoggi killing boils over in the United States Senate. As you've been hearing, senators condemn the Crown Prince, demand an end to U.S. involvement in the Yemeni civil war, and the Trump administration unveils a new Africa strategy. This has not gotten too much attention, but if you follow this stuff, you know that the Russians and Chinese, in some respects, have been drawing rings around America in sub-Saharan Africa, and the Trump administration labels that as predatory. Let's go live to Washington. Tracy Wilkinson, national correspondent, Los Angeles Times, LATimes.com. Hello, Tracy. And would anyone have expected a few weeks ago such a united Senate front, Republicans and Democrats, against the administration? What do you think led to this?
Well, I think the anger over the Khashoggi murder, as you pointed out, and the fact that the administration has not been particularly honest in what happened and what they know about what happened, I think has angered a lot of senators, so that you had several Republicans crossing over to join with Democrats to, as you said, to demand the end of U.S. support for Saudi's war in Yemen and to unanimously condemn or blame, really, the murder on the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman. It is largely symbolic because, of course, the White House can veto the Yemen measure, but it's important nevertheless because it is the first time we've seen such a clear condemnation, rebuke, defiance of Trump by members of his own party.
Isn't it interesting, though, that I don't sense this is a water cooler topic about which many Americans chat? Certainly it's gotten much more attention than a few weeks ago, but you know what I'm saying? And so that the senators who are normally pro-Trump would defect on this says something.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying that Yemen particularly has sort of been under the radar for most Americans. It's a terribly brutal war that has led to what the UN calls the worst humanitarian crisis on the planet, with millions facing starvation, tens of thousands of civilians killed. But you're right, it's not something that the average American is talking about much. I think the killing of this journalist is what sort of raised the level of attention. And then, as I said, the fact that the administration just was not honest about what they knew. They, you know, the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense went and briefed the senators and refused and did not allow the CIA director, who was the one person who had actually seen the evidence, did not initially allow her to testify. When she did, the senators came away convinced that they had been misled by the administration.
And I guess the initial muzzling of the CIA director, I mean, that kind of offends Senate prerogatives, and so then you get somebody like Lindsey Graham who agrees to the condemnation.
Correct.
So beyond that, as you say, the president can basically ignore it, right? So does it have any practical effect then, or just puts the Saudis on notice and God knows the internal forces within the kingdom on MBS?
Yeah, well, it does put the Saudis on notice, but I think they feel pretty confident in the loyalty they've been able to get from President Trump. So I doubt they're sweating it. Trump has cautioned that this might lead to Saudi Arabia buying fewer weapons, perhaps trying to tinker with oil prices, but I don't think you're going to see much real impact.
Where is Jared Kushner in all this?
Well, he has been very close with the Crown Prince. In fact, the Saudis very concertedly recruited him, made him a friend of the Crown Prince. And the two are very similar, sort of, you know, scions of wealthy families, quite entitled, more power than perhaps experience. And so the two of them are in constant contact and seem to have a very close friendship.
Well, I asked that because there have been some reports that he could end up being the chief of staff.
Possible. Who knows? Apparently no one really wants the job, so anything's possible.
Okay, well, does this story die down then, or do we still have a few twists to expect?
I think we'll still see a few things. The House may take it up when it is controlled by the Democrats, so you'll see another vote. I think it's had surprisingly strong legs so far, so I think we're going to see a little bit more from this.
Okay, another story not getting as much attention, but people who follow foreign affairs have long said that the Chinese and the Russians have been enjoying a great imprint in sub-Saharan Africa.
So that is correct.
Trump administration is countering it, or trying to?
Trying to, at least so far in rhetoric. They, John Bolton, Trump's national security advisor, yesterday unveiled what he called a new strategy for Africa, in which he condemned Russia and China for what he called their predatory practices in terms of sponsoring infrastructure projects that then end up indebting African governments in ways that then the Chinese can essentially seize major assets of those countries, while Russia at the same time expands its political influence, trading energy and weapons for support in the UN and such things, according to Bolton. However, what, you know, on the one hand, Bolton is saying that Africa is very important to the United States, to U.S. Interests, especially as terrorism grows in Africa. But at the same time, he says that American interests will always come first. And this is an administration that is talking about slashing aid to places like Africa, not increasing money, and withdrawing from UN peacekeeping missions that are particularly important in Africa. So on the one hand, the rhetoric is strong, especially where it condemns China and Russia. But on the other hand, there doesn't seem to be a lot of meat behind that criticism in terms of what this administration will really do in Africa.
Well, I guess a few African governments have gotten disgruntled with the Chinese because of what they see as the predatory lending.
Oh yeah, there are countries that are having to forfeit their energy companies to pay off these Chinese debts that are sort of a bait and switch program where China promises one thing and then charges for another thing, and these countries that don't have very strong necessarily economic financial governments plans anyway get caught up.
Well, we have to note the silent hidden wars in sub-Saharan Africa, various U.S. contingents, very small forces surgically going after Islamists in many of these countries. Very little attention in our media, but just to make the point.
Yes, yes, no, indeed. Thousands of American troops are scattered about Africa. You remember last year there was that ambush in Niger that that killed four American soldiers, and I think that surprised a lot of Americans because they had not been aware that U.S. forces were there.
Well, final point, as much as one can talk about China and Russia and Africa, you can make the same point about South America, Latin America. We're so fixated on the Middle East and East Asia, but in much of the developing world, Beijing and Moscow have left a greater imprint than before.
Right. They've been expanding worldwide, and this seems to pick particularly acute now as the Trump administration sort of withdraws from many parts of the world. It seems to be in retreat. So that's why you have Russian presence, a new Russian presence in places like Venezuela, increased presence in Cuba, because they've been able to step up and fill a void that the United States has been leading.
Well, just recently, more Russian influence or physical delivery to Venezuela?
Yes. Uh-huh. I think they've been moving military ships into the region, military equipment. I'm sure they're giving the Maduro government something of a lifeline to continue to exist, whether it's money or oil or what, to just help it exist because the country is in such a bad condition.
Okay. All right. Thank you, yeah. Tracy Wilkinson, Los Angeles Times, LATimes.com. Happy holidays. All the best.
Thank you. Thanks.
Take care.